and doctors report to the studio. You're live in 2 minutes.
This is the Data Doctor's 2-Minute Drill.
Hey, social and search, they're starting to merge.
Social.
So both Google and Microsoft's Bing search engine are trying to bring the social graph into your search results. Such that, let's say you're searching for, Gary Vee uses this example, you're searching for orange juice.
Yes.
Your friends say they like Sunkist. And so in the search results, you'll see that here are all your friends that said that they liked Sunkist through Facebook.
And I think that's a smart idea because I tend to, if my friends like something that I'm into, I'm going to use something that they liked first because...
That's an endorsement.
They've supported it. And I'm sorry, I sound like Glenn Beck today.
That's okay.
I endorse this.
Well, and now there's a new linking service between Bing and Facebook where you can really start to share not just your likes and what have you, but your own web pages and whatever else you want to share so that it shows up in the search results when your friends are searching.
Here's what concerns me about search and social, though. If search and social are merged, is everything that I've shared on Facebook going to be searchable?
Maybe.
Because you know that's the biggest concern.
In theory, it already is, right? I mean, depending on your privacy settings and things like that, but it's already there.
Well, but with this new feature, you can decide, yes, I want to make this searchable via Bing, but just to my Facebook friends. So when my Facebook friends are searching, they can actually find my stuff, but not everyone else.
No more having to ask, hey, any of my friends here on Facebook used somebody that they're happy with? They can just search it.
I think that's a good idea, as long as it doesn't open up my privacy gate again.
We love privacy.
The 2-Minute Drill. Stand by.
Cue intro music in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2.
Live from Data Doctors HQ. This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And how do, ladies and germs? It's that time again to listen, laugh, and learn. It's the Data Doctors radio program.
What do? Each and every week, we come right here on the radio to help you with your problems based on our experience with our stores all across the country.
We are the Data Doctors. I'm the one who needs a doctor this week. It's Ken across from me, or to the left of me, Brandon across from me, and me, Spanky, here to provide you education and entertainment. We like to call it
edutainment. Hey, D-Day's almost here. Are you ready for the day the internet may go dark?
Hey, and Flash for your iPad? Microsoft Office 2? Am I dreaming?
And who hasn't been there? You're texting or checking your Facebook wall when, plop, your smartphone hits the can.
Data Doctors radio program.
You don't sound like Glenn Beck at all.
Sometimes I do. My voice is really squirrely today.
I think I still think it's Glenn Beck meets Tone Loke. I think it's Tone Beck or...
Well, you know it's showtime, so...
Glenn Loke.
Let's do it.
Hey, so March 8th.
A day that shall live in infamy.
It may live in infamy if you don't listen to what we're about to tell you. See if I can unravel this.
500 million of you have a problem right now.
Okay, they need a 12-step program.
Actually, 500,000.
Is it 500,000?
No, I want it to sound more sensational. Did I say 500 million?
You did.
Maybe I'm the one sick.
Last year, the FBI did what they're supposed to be doing in this cyber terrorism and cyber war, you know, going after these bad guys. They actually got these guys from Estonia, 6 guys, that had put together a pretty sophisticated botnet that was infecting machines all over the world. They estimate somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 million computers worldwide were infected. And about 500,000 of those are probably in the U.S. Here's the really interesting thing. Half of the Fortune 500 had at least one infected machine in their organization, and 27 government agencies were infected by this malware that was out there. And the big thing that this malware did was once it infected your machine, it changed what's called the DNS, which is like the traffic cop in your computer. So when you type in something, you type in datadoctors.com, and you hit enter, your browser checks with the DNS server, right, which is the domain name system.
Right, it converts the name, datadoctors.com, to numbers that don't mean a whole lot to you and are very difficult to remember. So we came up with this whole conversion system, and datadoctors.com converts.
We didn't, but...
Well, yeah, but we...
Al Gore did.
Meaning the human race.
Right, so you get the IP address. So if they infect your machine, it's like having a rogue traffic cop, right? Officer, can you give me directions to? And he goes, yes. And he points you into a dark alley where his friends can mug you. That was essentially the scam that was going on. So they caught these guys. But because there was 4 million computers infected, had they shut down this rogue network, then everybody that was infected would suddenly be cut off from the internet because it's going to be trying to go to a traffic cop that's no longer there. So they got a court order to create surrogates so that they could keep these rogue DNS servers running long enough to alert the public and get everybody to clean their machines.
But they took out the bad guy portion of it. So they're directing traffic like a regular DNS server. But the problem is that they can't do this forever. At some point, it has to end.
Well,
and so
the court order is scheduled to end on March 8th, which is why March 8th is the golden day.
What they're supposed to do is turn off those servers so that now the idea was that everybody would have had plenty of time to clean up, only
people
you guys haven't done it.
Yeah. So if your computer is still infected by this,
yes,
and they turn it off on March 8th,
yes,
suddenly your internet isn't going
to
work?
Correct. You'll open your browser and it has no way to talk to the traffic cop to be able to get out to the internet.
So it's technical, right? Your internet connection is still working. There's
sure.
nothing wrong if you get your internet connection from your phone company, your cable company, your satellite, whatever it is. That's still working. It's not their problem. It's a problem with your machine, that your machine is infected, or in some rare cases, your router, the thing that goes between your multiple machines and the internet, where it's got the wrong traffic cop. And the fix, besides removing the malware that's probably still left in your system as a part of this, is fairly simple. It's just getting rid of the bad pointers. In most cases, you can set your machine back to some default settings, but you need to know if you have the problem first. And so everybody listening, you should be checking your machine. It's
yeah.
fairly simple.
We've got all the instructions. Now, by the way, if you are infected with this malware, getting rid of the malware is not simple.
No.
It is very complicated. And the other thing is, this malware, the first thing that it did was turned off all your Windows updates. And by the way, this is not a Windows exclusive thing.
No.
You Mac people, you can be just as infected with this as anyone else, because it goes after this. It's like directory assistance, right? You're calling directory assistance. Remember those days when you used to call?
411.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking to my generation here. It's the directory assistance number you're calling is going to no longer be in service on March 8th. And that's what's going to happen if you don't check your machine. Right. So, take a look at the resources we have posted. We have the entire description of how to check if you're semi-technical and feel comfortable doing that. The FBI has posted a really detailed step-by-step process for those of you that want to do that. And if not, if you're near any of the Data Doctors locations, we're doing this absolutely free. Just take it in. Say, I want a DNS check. I want to have my machine checked to make sure I'm not being infected by this this rogue malware, this DNS changer.
Right. The check is fairly simple for someone that has just some basic or moderate sort of tech skills. The cleanup may not be, depending on if you're still infected or not. But the check, fairly simple. Like Ken said, we've got the step-by-step, or we'll help you out.
Now, if you're listening to this and you just compartmentalize this as, oh, yeah, I'm sure my machine is fine and, you know, nothing's wrong and everything's acting great, and all of a sudden on March 8th you go to search, you go to your Facebook page and it's not working and nothing is working.
Well, you won't be able to go to your Facebook page.
You won't
page.
Be able to go yeah. to your Facebook page.
Right. Everything you try to do, in theory, won't be working, although that March 8th date may or may not be, because now they're looking to try to extend that. But I would not assume that it's going to get extended. I would not procrastinate. I would take a look. I would check. I would do that now and pretend that March 8th is the end of the internet for you, and better be safe than sorry.
Yeah, and the reason why they're having to extend it is because nobody's talking about this. Nobody's explaining this. There are roughly 500,000 computers in the United States that are infected with this malware. And they know this because of the logs and the things that are out there. So,
and can the malware still spread? Is it still an actively, you know what I mean? Can one machine infect another machine still, or has that been turned off by the government stepping in?
Technically, can it still spread? Yes. Is it part of its ability to spread was helped by the rogue DNS servers? And since the rogue DNS servers are no longer rogue,
right,
it's very difficult, but it's possible.
Yeah, it's not really an issue from that standpoint.
This applies to people who own businesses and manage businesses,
yes,
and manage IT in general, too. So,
remember, half of the Fortune 500 have an infected machine in their network. Anybody can be infected. Check your business.
Coming up, ever get up from doing your business? And, well, you know, do you reach in before or after your flush?
Also, can your wireless wear out?
Yeah, it's all coming up here on the Data Doctors radio program. Stay tuned.
The tax man cometh, and lots of us fire up the PC to start punching in the numbers. Stop!
Yes, before you start putting all that personal information, your social security number, your address, all that good stuff on there, your bank's routing information, you need to make sure that your computer's not infected.
Tax time is like Christmas for hackers. Your infected PC could give them everything they need to steal your identity and your dough.
Here's the deal. If your computer is taking forever to start up, takes forever to shut down, is slow as molasses, these are all indications that something is in there that shouldn't be. And you want to make sure it's not malicious software that can figure out what you're doing when you're doing your taxes.
That's why Data Doctors does a free tax time PC checkup. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be able to determine if your computer needs special medical attention, and then we'll get it healthy again.
Don't even think about doing your taxes on your PC until you've had your computer checked by Data Doctors.
DataDoctors.com. Click the Find a Location button for the store nearest you.
This is the Data Doctors.
Hey, Spank.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
No, I can't. You're sitting right across from me. Speak louder.
Apparently, Verizon, they're going through some growing pains with that new super fast 4G LTE service they're rolling out everywhere. If you experienced a service problem this week, they know about it, and so do millions of others. Like I said, growing pains. Check out who's been affected, datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Telephone. I like to Facebook on the throne. I even Twitter while I go. Uh-oh.
Hold up, a little busy right now.
I'm texting.
Dude next to me's on the phone.
I do it just because I can. Checking scores because
I can't believe
fan.
It won.
I'm a smartphone kind of man.
Smartphone users, baby.
You know, smartphones are being used in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
By lots of us. 750 out of 1,000. Just a couple weeks ago, we talked about this on the radio program.
Yeah, 75% of smartphone users. We read that story.
Hey, 750 out of 1,000? That sounds confusing.
See, here's what really bothers me about that number. I know it's higher. I know that people are embarrassed to admit that they use their smartphones in the
can. At least once, right?
Everybody does.
I think it's
going
to be everybody.
Everybody does.
Well, but after we read that story, we had a commercial break, so we were actually in the can talking about this story, going, we've got to have some fun with this. We got to do a video on this, and
that's what we did.
Yeah.
And if you want to see how that turned out, we've got a link for you. The same place as all the links, datadoctors.com/radio.
But then, which leads me to a question. What happens if you drop your smartphone in the toilet?
Depends on whether you have a life-proof case or not.
Depends on whether or not you're backing up to the iCloud or syncing it or doing whatever you do.
Can you get data back off of a smartphone?
Sure.
All the time.
How do you do it?
Can you get it back? I don't know.
I don't know if I can get it back. First, how do you get the phone out of the toilet? That's the big question.
That's your
Apparently
problem.
Apparently, it's barbecue tongs.
Yes.
Well, hang on. I thought I was confused. You said back up to the iCloud. You weren't talking about the actual throne. You were talking about the
really?
It's going downhill.
It's going to be that
fast.
Kind of show.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it always?
in the video, and you'll see for yourselves that I actually reached into the toilet to retrieve said phone.
But you're a trooper. Yeah, if you know anybody has ever gone through this, you know, I mean, we've all heard it. I mean, we see it here at our recovery labs all the time. Send them a link to this video. They'll have a good time with it. We had a lot of fun with it.
And you know, more importantly, as a public service announcement, do not shake Spanky's hand. Ever.
And you'll know why after you see the video. Hey, speaking of smartphones,
yes.
A new study says that even at $15,000 a year, most youngins are buying smartphones, and you're paying those expensive data services.
What smartphone costs $15,000 a year?
That's how much they make.
Their
income, they're only making $15,000 a year, yet they're still buying smartphones.
Do these dopey kids realize that's like 10% of their income?
Did you happen to see the response from our Facebook fans, especially some of those youngins? And they basically articulated very clearly how this ends up saving them a ton of money.
Okay, so let's walk through how this saves them
a ton
of money.
How did they articulate? They said OMG
LMFAO.
They did.
Yeah.
Twice.
Okay.
Three times. No, I mean, it's the discussion's there. Somebody actually spent quite a bit of time responding to this notion that just because you're young and poor that you shouldn't have a smartphone. And in fact, here's all the ways that the smartphone is saving me money. I'm not going to go into the details because I didn't read it all the way.
You know, and that's the and that's the generation of smartphone users that should be able to buy bathroom insurance, because I bet you they use their smartphones in the bathroom more than we do. I admit that we.
Bathroom insurance?
Bathroom insurance, yeah.
Well, somebody was talking about our video on our Facebook page or on one of the pages, and they were talking about somebody was having a conversation not related to this. They brought up the video. And somebody in the conversation said, "That's funny, because I've been on the throne the whole time I've been talking to you guys."
Which is pretty funny.
And then they said, the question is now, who's the other two that should be on the toilet right now?
Yeah, it's a three-way.
It is. You know what? Get over yourselves, folks. You know you're doing it. It's okay. It's okay. Just use one hand for one thing, one hand for the other.
And if you ever have a question for us, any question regarding your technology, your smartphone, whatever, you can always post it on our wall, facebook.com/datadoctors, and we'll do our best to answer it as quick as humanly possible.
You mean like Amy?
Like Amy.
Amy asked, "One of my computers suddenly started having internet connection problems. It's a wireless internet, meaning the connection, using a Linksys, meaning a router is my guess."
Yeah.
"The internet can take up to 2 minutes to load," meaning I'm guessing she goes to www.whatever, and it spins and spins and spins and finally pops up. "The other two computers hooked up to wireless are running fine. Could the Linksys wireless adapter be wearing out, or does it sound like a different type of issue?"
Maybe her computer's just tired.
Or that is a very, very common sign that you are infected with malware or a bunch of malicious garbage, because all of these malware programs wait for you to go onto the internet to open your browser to jump into action, or not all of them, but a lot of them do. They kind of tag themselves into the browser, so the browser's dealing with all these extra things that it's trying to do when it's starting up. Or we talked about last week all the extra add-ons, right? So she could try starting in safe mode. It's certainly possible that the wireless router could be going, or the wireless adapter.
I think she was talking about like a USB adapter that plugs in. So that's a possibility, a bunch of possibilities that you could be farther away with that one, or something's interfering with range. It could be that the channel, and right, so there's a bunch of different channels, is similar to a neighbor's or something like that.
Baby monitor.
It could be cordless phones. I mean, there's a 100 things it could be.
But the fact that the other two computers are working fine.
Right.
It's either the computer and the operating system software or the device itself. So if you're going to follow the troubleshooting line, you could actually take the adapter from the machine that's not working well and try it on another machine to see, does the problem follow the adapter?
Even if it's a machine that already has wireless built in, like a laptop, you can just disable the onboard, right, and plug this thing in, set it up, and if the problem follows that, then okay, now it's good suspicion that that's the problem.
Data Doctor's Diagnosis 101.
I'm going to ask the dumb question.
That's your job.
If she does have malware on this specific computer.
Yes.
And they're on the same network.
Yes.
Doesn't that put her other two computers at high risk of getting infected?
Potentially.
Depends on what it's infected with, but many of the different malware variants and things that are out there, one of the first things they try to do is go to work to see what else can they infect around them, because that's part of their mission in life.
And that's the difference between a virus and a worm. You've heard these terms for malware. There's viruses, worms, Trojans, all this.
Yeah, so, I have a virus right now.
Yes, you have a virus. So a worm...
I thought you were a virus. Anyway.
No, I'm just
you're
a worm.
Okay, go ahead.
You're a worm with a virus.
Thank you.
So the virus code generally requires the human to do something for it to continue to spread, whereas a worm will actually worm its way through a network. So if it sees other connections and other computers, it goes and tries to infect those. And a lot of those, pretty much everything out there today uses all those attacks.
Hey, when we come back, grocery shopping. It's a chore we all do, but those annoying discount cards, those things may be a thing of the past. We'll explain.
Also, cutting the cords. How do you fire your cable provider, and what's the real cost?
And a chief nerd here at Data Doctors.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
What would Brandon do? Right after the break.
Yeah, like that. Hey, the iPad 3 is just around the corner, and the rumors are flying.
Cannot wait. I'm going to sell my iPad 1 and 2.
Yeah, we've got a list of 9 things you couldn't possibly know about the iPad 3, or is it even going to be
the rest of the world couldn't possibly know either, by the way.
Check it out at datadoctors.com/radio. You know, we got to talk about this some more later.
delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
You know, each and every week at this time of the program, we like to bring you a special segment. The head of our IT department here at Data Doctors, the Chief Technology Officer, Mr. Brandon Disney. Whenever we have a tech problem, we go to him.
So in the small business world.
And this, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
You know,
just the tie-in's coming.
The tie-in's coming. And the small business world needs help, too. And that's why we created this little segment, this lovely segment called
What Would Brandon Do?
You know, that's how I sound today, naturally.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, pretty
much. You should re-record that now.
What?
Because, like, if you go deep.
Would Brandon do?
Yeah, that's better.
That's pretty good.
You can do this on live from now.
I'll just do it live.
Yeah.
We'll do it live.
Let's do it live.
So, we were talking about, actually, a little bit before the show, a customer of ours, actually two different customers of ours, that are facing an issue right now that I'm sure lots of folks out there listening are facing or face regularly, and that is they've both got this software that they use in their business. It's kind of the key piece of software. It's the thing that they use to track their sales and to deal with pretty much all the inner guts of the business minus sort of the accounting. And in both cases, these folks have this stuff that was designed 17, 18, 19 years ago by coders, custom programmed. We're having a tougher and tougher time keeping it running on today's technology. And they're both sort of been putting off, and they're stuck with this decision of, do I start looking for replacement? Do I try to find somebody to go out there and try to update what I've got? Do I just live with this thing until it dies? What do I do?
Well, and one of the two, actually, a computer did die. In order for us to get them back up and running, we literally had to go find software on the open used market that's like two or three generations old.
It was like five generations old.
Just to be able to get the system back up and running. And so the question is, well, do you just run until you hit the wall, or is there something else you should be thinking about?
I mean, I guess that's one strategy, I guess, is you just roll until that thing dies, but then you've got to be prepared for the reality of when that thing dies, if you don't have a plan in place, your life for your business is going to be pretty horrible for a while. You may lose business. You may not be able to function depending on what you do. In the case of this particular customer, they were in a panic because they'd been putting it off, and they knew they should have dealt with it, but they'd been putting it off. And it ended up being very expensive because now suddenly they're tracking down and they need it quick. And so when you need something quick, sometimes you're paying extra shipping. You're settling for something off the shelf and it's not quite the right solution. It's that kind of stuff. And they ended up not only having to special order some software that was kind of used on eBay and weird stuff, but we had to find a very specific kind of motherboard to support because they want to keep this old technology around. And after going through the whole process to keep them back on that old technology, now they're starting to look at the reality of, okay, well, now if this happens again,
yeah, what are we going to do?
Do we want to do this again, or should we start really looking at a replacement for this? And so my advice is I wouldn't wait till that thing runs into the ground. Not only are you going to be losing sleep between now and then, when that happens, it's going to be pretty painful for you. I'd start working on a longer-term solution. And if you have something that's 15, 20 years old, it was made to run in the old DOS days, if it's becoming more and more difficult to take today's technology and make it work with yesterday's software.
But, you know, there's a bigger thing for business owners of all types to be thinking about here. Most business owners probably don't even realize that they're running on really old software, right? Just because it's working.
Right.
We're not gonna mess with it.
So, it's working. Why not?
So do you have a disaster plan? Do you know what to do if this computer got stolen, burned up in a fire, whatever? If you've not gone through that exercise, you should be doing that as a business owner anyway. And that will start to uncover some of these issues of, wait a minute, we couldn't even find this software if we needed to.
Right.
We don't have the disks. We can't. I mean, this happens over and over again.
And I'm not even talking about just small business owners. There are large companies that manufacture very intricate parts, big, huge Fortune 100 companies that have brought us things that you wouldn't believe. It's got a physical switch to turn it on and off with. It boots to a floppy disk, and this thing runs the assembly line for the manufacturing of ignition parts or of semiconductor or whatever. And without it, they're losing $100,000 an hour because they can't run their stuff, and they want us to resurrect it, even with the understanding this is 20-year-old technology. We can't get parts for it. We're going to resurrect this thing and get it going. they've got no plan for when this thing dies.
Yeah, we'll do it later.
How much baling wire, bubble gum, and prayer is needed for this?
Sometimes it's super MacGyver and it's
total MacGyver.
But this is the situation they're in, and then usually after that event, they're stuck on their, well, we can't change this technology. We just want to run until it dies. So is there any way you could source us like a second one of these so that if it dies, we can just pull that one out, put this one in? And I mean, it's kind of nuts sometimes when you think about this stuff happening. And it's a real thing out there where these companies don't have a plan for that.
Wake up call for you business owners. Go make sure you have a disaster plan that will uncover all the weak links. That's our advice. That's what Brandon would do.
It's one of the top things we help with when we get involved with people's small business technology. So
that's this week's What Would Brandon Do?
Hey, iPad 3.
Yes.
Or is it going to be called iPad 3?
The iPad 7GS LX5.
What if they do what they did with the iPhone 4?
Which is make an S?
4S, yeah. If they come out with an iPad 2S instead of a 3?
There is a ton of stuff that, I mean, the buzz on the internet about the iPad 3 is ridiculous. We've got... let's see, what else? The Retina display is going to be on it.
Yeah, I could believe that.
An 8 megapixel camera.
9 more cameras, why not?
4G LTE.
Okay.
There's going to be all sorts of stuff. But here's the truth. None of us know.
Well, and how much more useful is an iPad 2 over a regular iPad? It's not that big of a difference.
Not really. Hey, coming up, are you going to be the 500 millionth one of these?
Plus, more browser blues, why it's so important to keep your junk up to date.
It's coming up here on the Data Doctors radio program.
The tax man cometh, and lots of us fire up the PC to start punching in the numbers. Stop!
Yes, before you start putting all that personal information, your social security number, your address, all that good stuff on there, your bank's routing information, you need to make sure that your computer's not infected.
Tax time is like Christmas for hackers. Your infected PC could give them everything they need to steal your identity and your dough.
Here's the deal. If your computer is taking forever to start up, takes forever to shut down, is slow as molasses, these are all indications that something is in there that shouldn't be. And you want to make sure it's not malicious software that can figure out what you're doing when you're doing your taxes.
That's why Data Doctors does a free tax time PC checkup. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be able to determine if your computer needs special medical attention, and then we'll get it healthy again.
Don't even think about doing your taxes on your PC until you've had your computer checked by Data Doctors.
DataDoctors.com. Click the Find a Location button for the store nearest you.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, in about 100 days, Twitter could hit a huge milestone.
Retweet.
What, people will actually be using it?
No, it's 500 millionth user.
Ooh.
Are you going to be it? Not you.
I'm already in.
We've got the story and all the links to everything we talk about all the time. DataDoctors.com/radio.
Technology for your technology. Data Doctors radio program.
Speaking of Twitter, did another Twitter for Business 101 workshop this week. Opened up some eyes. I love it. Guy walked in and said, an hour and a half just on Twitter?
Yeah, 140 characters. I'm out.
And you taught them that you can tweet while you're in the bathroom.
About halfway through, he got how complex Twitter and how many things you can do with it. And so it was, yeah. There's a lot going on there.
Twitter's pretty cool.
You know what else is cool? Smartphones.
Smartphones are awesome.
Because?
There's an app for almost everything.
Yes.
You've heard the commercials. You know, there's an app for that. There's an app for that. There's an app for that. Well, we found an app that we really, really dig. I've been using it. My wife's been using it. And it's an app that allows you to get rid of all of those silly cards that you have on your key ring from all the stores you shop at.
Oh, the loyalty cards.
Those loyalty cards. And you have a stack that's so thick, you look like a janitor.
Right.
What if I have them in my wallet, not in my key ring?
Well, then you have a fat wallet.
Thank you.
And you'll wind up with back problems and hip dysplasia. Oh, wait, that's dogs. It's called Keyring. The app is called Keyring, and here's what it does. It's very smart. You scan in all your loyalty cards for all the stores. It recognizes the stores. But it also gives you this really cool feature that when you walk into those stores, you can click on that app, and it'll pull up the coupons for that store.
Like the digital deals kind of stuff.
The digital deals, correct. And it'll put them on your card for checkout. So when you check out and you scan your smartphone, it'll pull electronically all of the coupons that you've shopped with.
And this is an app for iDevices or also an Android?
It is an iPhone app. It is very cool. It is very free, and you ought to try it out. If you have those loyalty cards and they annoy the snot out of you like they did me, try this app out. Tell me if you like it. And if you don't like it.
It sounds like I like it. I've used an app called CardStar before, but this one sounds like it does a lot more that's kind of cooler.
Yeah, it's a very cool app. So it's something you should check out. And if you ever have a question about any of the apps we talk about or anything, you can always hit us up on Facebook.
But by the way, it is also for Android. It's not just an iPhone app.
So it works on all smartphones.
Sorry, I'm not.
Except for Windows, and I don't
have Apple fanboy. I misspoke.
By the way, does it work on smartphones that like to swim?
Blame the cold medication.
That doesn't fit my answer. That answer doesn't fit my question.
I don't know if it works
does
on
it
smartphones
work on
that like to swim.
I was talking about the ones you dropped in the toilet.
I don't know.
Why bother asking questions when you can get all the tips and tricks and warnings that we provide free of charge every week to you via our email newsletter? Check it out at datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see a newsletter subscription box. You know the drill. Get signed up. You know you want it.
So a few months ago.
You know you want it.
You know you want it.
A few months ago, we started a discussion. In fact, it was last year, mid-year. We started a discussion about us cutting the cord in my house. Now, cutting the cord, for those of you who don't know what it is
having a baby, right?
No, that's totally different. And although my people are very good at doing that. Having babies.
Cutting cords.
Yes, and cutting cords. Okay. Anyway. Cutting cords at our house has been an ongoing debate. And the debate has been, how do you fire the cable company? How do you fire the satellite company? Is there a painless way to get the content, to watch the shows, to do all the stuff we like? And we're finally making some headway in our house.
Well, how so?
I don't know if there's a painless way.
Well,
and everything that's worth doing has some pain involved.
Trade-offs,
and,
yes.
And at the end of the day, you're doing this not because it's fun to do. You're doing it to try to save some dough, right? And so that's going to cost you something in the way of your time or your effort or at least something to get it set up, if nothing else.
Right. So I've tried to convince my wife for a while that, hey, let's get rid of the cable company or the satellite company in our case and go from $118 a month to $16. And all we have to do is have Hulu Plus and Netflix.
Well, and an internet connection.
Correct. But that I'm not counting that. That's separate from our satellite bill.
Well, I mean, if you only watch certain programs and they live on these networks, you're golden. If you want something that looks and acts like cable and has all the options of cable, there's nothing.
And that's the pain. But she's finally agreed with me that, hey, you know what, let's save this money. So she said to me, we have the Roku. We like the Roku for certain things. Is there something easier? Is there a one-stop shop? Is the Apple TV the answer? What's going to give me the menu system that I like? And the answer is, unfortunately, none of them. But is there one device that's going to allow me to stream web content? And that means like Nickelodeon's website. My kids like Nick programs. You can't find them on Hulu Plus. You can't find them on any of the Apple TV sponsors.
Right.
So how do you, what one magic box?
Nothing.
The closest I've seen, and you won't like the answer, the closest I've seen is to take and create something that most people that get into this call an HTPC, a home theater PC. It is literally a computer, and some people use Mac Minis to do it. Some people use Windows-based computers to do it, and this gives you the most flexibility, right? Because any of the boxes are designed to do what the boxes are designed to do. This adapts to change a little bit better because it's really a full computer, has a full operating system. And then you would get something like a Sage TV or a media browser or one of the things that lets you combine all the things that you're downloading, all the things you're streaming, all the things that are available through YouTube into sort of a single interface. And you can get remote controls and you can do this and you can get close. But that's also the most expensive route to go because you're buying a whole PC for
sure.
This. Right? And it's not just a junky PC. It's a pretty powerful PC to be able to display in HD and stream this stuff where it's clear and looks clean. It's not cable. It's not even approaching that, but it is the closest thing I've seen.
I think we're probably a year or two away from actually having an elegant solution where it's easy enough for non-technical people to manage all this. I mean, just a lot of times switching it over to a different input, you know, on a flat panel.
Sure.
That's tough for a lot of people.
It does become a problem. It's like, which one? It's like the flashing 12 forever on VCRs, right? So, I mean, that's an issue that if it's not really simple and it's not a lot like what I'm used to with my satellite or cable, it's a huge, huge difference.
And I know she's not listening to the show right now, and I can tell you something that I actually agree with her on. She occasionally stumbles upon a show like Oprah's Next Chapter, which when I first saw it, I thought, wow, that's a really good show. It's a really good interview show. And you would never find that if you are
right
off the grid.
If you live mostly in a DVR world where you watch content that's already pre-recorded by you, right, then the switch is going to be a lot easier than if you're a channel surfer.
You can also get rid of the distraction. So, hey, go ahead.
Go ahead. Got a question for the program? Hit us up, facebook.com/datadoctors. We'll answer it for you.
Remember, the Data Doctors radio program, it's your source for all things tech. You can find the links to everything we talk about anytime online, datadoctors.com/radio.
And, of course, if you miss any of the shows, you can subscribe to the Data Doctors radio program on iTunes and get every minute, every day.
And if you get stuck with your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, you spill your morning coffee on your laptop, we can help. Head on over to datadoctors.com. Find the location nearest you anywhere in the country.
Sit tight. Hour number two, it's just ahead.
If you surf the net, and who doesn't, you won't want to miss our first story.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Data Doctors report to the studio. You're live in 2 minutes.
This is the Data Doctors 2 minute drill.
So now T-Mobile has announced that they're coming to America.
Like Neil Diamond.
With 4G LTE.
Too much, too little, too late, too scattered? What good does that do? They have no customers.
No, everybody has to get on the LTE bandwagon. You think about the FOG, F-A-U-X-G, that everybody's been touting?
Right. Well, not everybody. One company.
Yeah, well, one or two. The LTE, long-term evolution, is an actual type of transmission. Verizon, obviously, is in the lead here. They've had that for
2 years.
AT&T is starting to roll out now. And so T-Mobile said, hey, we're gonna jump into the fray.
Yeah, but they don't have any customers to support the
sure,
cost
they,
of it.
They have some customers. AT&T wanted them.
Dude, T-Mobile's only got one thing going for them, and it's the chick who wears pink. That's it.
They also have they're the only of the... Well, I guess I wouldn't say it. No, I'm wrong. Never mind.
You're thinking of Sprint.
Yeah. I was going to say, they're only with the unlimited.
They're going to pour $4 billion into creating infrastructure. So what they're probably trying to do is, since I didn't get bought out, we better start getting serious and try to build and maybe become number three, overtake those guys over at Sprint.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to do unless Sprint obviously has to step up and put in infrastructure. And I think Sprint has a lot more money at their disposal than T-Mobile.
Yeah, but Sprint has been on dead bent on this path that leads to nowhere.
Yeah,
for a while.
The bottom line is, if you're a T-Mobile customer and you hear this, you're going, cool, I'm going to wait. I don't think you should.
It's a long wait.
Go to the leaders that are out there now.
Stand by.
Cue intro music in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2.
Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And just like the Beastie Boys say, what's the time? It's time to listen, laugh, and learn with the Data Doctors radio program.
Each and every week, we help thousands of people in our stores all across the country, and then we come to the radio and help you here, too.
And if you're Spanky, it's time to get ill.
Yes.
But we are the Data Doctors, Ken, Brandon, and Spanky, here to provide the education and entertainment we like to call...
Edutainment.
The Pope. He takes to Twitter, and he has an agenda.
Also, is your computer broken, or do you just need a really good driver?
Yeah, and, very good driver.
Are you in line to lose your internet connection on March 8th?
March 8th?
We'll tell you.
March 8th?
March 8th.
Data Doctors radio program.
And Fuffering fuckatat.
And I'm the one who's sick, not you, Colburn.
What time is it? It's time to get ill.
You be illin'. No, actually, I be illin'.
You are illin'.
People listening are going, I don't know who Beastie Boys are. I don't get the reference. Yes.
Let me Google that for you.
What's the time? It's time to get ill.
There you go.
And not the sick ill.
You know, every week we tell you, or regularly on the radio program, we tell you to keep your browsers up to date.
Not just your browsers, your everything.
Your everything.
But especially now your browsers.
Especially now your browsers. And this week is no different. Another browser update. That has to get done. There was a big article this past week. Do they call them articles anymore?
Yeah.
When they're published on the web?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
About Google, Mozilla, all of these browsers that have this security hole that if you don't do this update, you could be subject to something called a remote code execution, something like that.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, is that like when somebody steals your garage door opener? What is that? What's a remote code execution?
What's a garage door opener?
Well, you know what an execution is, right?
Yes, it's when they shoot somebody.
Yeah.
Or hang them, or whatever.
Yes.
Now, what it means is that a bad guy can take advantage of this hole in your browser and remotely execute code. In other words, run a program on your computer, reach across the internet from Bulgaria, Estonia, Russia.
When I hear Estonia, I always think of Flintstones. Is that just me?
I think of Steve Martin's King Tut.
Oh, from Estonia. Born in Babylonia.
No, it was the condo made Estona.
Anyway,
the show is
remote
spiraling.
Code execution, as Colburn started to allude to, the execution part refers to, well, in Windows we have files called executable files. They end with a file extension of .exe, and execution means making those files run, remote meaning from afar. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So many of the world's browsers, if you're using Firefox right now, if you're using Internet Explorer, a hole was discovered that could allow your machine to be opened up to this remote code execution, meaning that folks could take control of your machine and execute code, and that's not a good thing.
Both Firefox and Google's Chrome. So if you haven't updated recently, do it. Get her done. Remember, we've told you over and over again, this whole Mac versus Windows thing, Macs are safer, and BS. The browser is what people are attacking these days, because then they don't care whether you're on Windows or a Mac OS. They're going after the browser, and if you don't keep the browser updated, you're playing right into their hands, especially you people that think, I've got a Mac, I'm safe, I can't get hurt.
Yeah, for those keeping score, this is the second thing we've talked about this radio program. The first was the DNS rogue issue, right, that affects both Mac users and Windows users, and you Linux users too, so
browser,
get with it.
And it's coming up in the show later on, I'll give them a third thing.
Ooh.
That's how bad we are.
Yeah.
Speaking of how bad we are... You mean bad isn't good, right?
That time of the show where we bring you a little portion of the vernacular that we like to call...
Geek Speak of the Week.
It is the Geek Speak of the Week. This week's Geek Speak is iFinger.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is a family... Oh.
Stop.
What is this?
Don't stick your finger in your nose.
It's different?
No. The iFinger is the finger that you keep clean. So you're eating this big, messy hamburger from In-N-Out Burger, right?
Uh-huh.
But you keep that one finger clean so that you can keep surfing the net or messing with your smartphone, right?
Oh, your swipe finger.
That's your swipe finger, right? That's your iFinger.
I get it. That would be my index finger on my right hand for me.
You know the pinky thing?
Yes.
A lot of people now are using their pinky out, not because they're cool, but because that's their iFinger.
The $1 million pinky.
My pinky is not that dexterous. It can't.
Dexterous?
Is that the word? Dexterous?
Good
I believe
job,
it
Jim
is.
Brewer.
Thank you.
So now, next time you're having a meal with somebody and they have a smartphone, you'll watch to see they're probably keeping one finger clear of the food, right? And then they're using that finger on their smartphone. You let them know that's your iFinger.
This is why I eat crunchy tacos with a fork.
You know, Ken, we talked about those Android users just last week or the week before that had their security was hacked because people would find these phones and they would see the swipe pattern.
Yeah.
And they had the greasy finger swipe pattern. Yeah. If they used an iFinger,
correct,
they wouldn't have this problem.
Bada bing.
Geek Speak of the Week.
That's a good one. You guys, everyone out there is going to be able to use this. Now, next time you're sitting with that person that's just an avid smartphone user, watch. You'll find their iFinger.
I'm excited about this one, Brandon. Flash on the iPad.
Okay.
Pointless.
I am stuck with the who cares. I can't think of the last time on my iDevice, that would be pad or phone, that I've tried going to do something that required Flash and I was actually disappointed that I couldn't do it. I can't think of, a couple years ago, this was a big deal. Not a big deal anymore to me.
Okay, but now OnLive is bringing Flash to the iPad, Office, and a super fast connection.
Yeah, the important part of this service has nothing, to me, nothing to do with Flash.
For $5 a month.
You can have a remote Windows 7 session through OnLive. You know, the OnLive is a gaming company where you don't have to have expensive stuff and you can play these crazy
games.
You
use their system to play sort of remote controlling.
They're bringing virtualization to the masses.
This is legal remote code execution.
Right.
For you.
So if you're on a short trip, but you still need access to a Windows 7 machine, you want to take your laptop, you can, for $5 a month, take your iPad, launch a session, and you have like a full Windows desktop at your disposal through your iPad.
But couldn't I do that with like log me in and the free little plugin and just use my Windows desktop at work?
Yeah, but
or
it's
home?
Slow. It's sluggish, and this isn't a slow, sluggish connection. This is a fast connection.
But that's $5 a month, and the other one's free.
Well, it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, and what's important to you?
Log me in at night.
You remember how many apps I've purchased in my life? You can guess which side of the coin I'm coming down on this one.
You've purchased
one.
They have a free service as well where you don't get the web browser, but you still have access to like Word and Excel and those kinds of things through the system. So anyway, if you have an iPad and you're looking for a new way, again, a lot of people take their laptop and their iPad because they have to do all these things. If you're one of those and you want to be able to just take your iPad, take a look at this service. It might be what you're looking for.
Hey, still ahead, are your drivers bad? Not Rayman, not that kind of thing. Or is your computer, is it broken?
Plus, malware for Macs. Oh, it's true!
It's all right here with Ken, Spanky, and Brandon, the Data Doctors on the Data Doctors radio program.
Do you know how hard it was for me to say, oh, it's true at that level?
That's three, one
it's
show.
It's true!
The tax man cometh, and lots of us fire up the PC to start punching in the numbers. Stop!
Yes, before you start putting all that personal information, your social security number, your address, all that good stuff on there, your bank's routing information, you need to make sure that your computer's not infected.
Tax time is like Christmas for hackers. Your infected PC could give them everything they need to steal your identity and your dough.
Here's the deal. If your computer is taking forever to start up, takes forever to shut down, is slow as molasses, these are all indications that something is in there that shouldn't be. And you want to make sure it's not malicious software that can figure out what you're doing when you're doing your taxes.
That's why Data Doctors does a free tax time PC checkup. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be able to determine if your computer needs special medical attention, and then we'll get it healthy again.
Don't even think about doing your taxes on your PC until you've had your computer checked by Data Doctors.
DataDoctors.com. Click the Find a Location button for the store nearest you.
The Data Doctors radio program.
If you like all the tips, tricks, and warnings we give you, all the great information we share here on the radio, we can deliver it right to your inbox.
Mine?
And yours. And yours. And yours over there. Just subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Go to datadoctors.com/radio. Look for the newsletter box. And then just type in your email address. It's that easy.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
And you know, it's always going to be all this and more.
All this and more in a world.
Our open-to-you resource for any question you have when it comes to your tech is our Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors.
And when is that available?
24/7.
365.
In a world where facebook.com/datadoctors is available. Go ahead.
Louise asked recently, I recently found a problem on my computer involving hardware drivers. My computer is a Dell, and the drivers are not on the driver disk shipped with the computer. My two-year-old customer support with Dell ended in December, and since I bought all this hardware, $2,000 plus worth of hardware, she says,
by the way. That's a lot of hardware.
Yeah. Shouldn't I have unrestricted access to all the drivers?
Really good driver.
Windows Discovery can't determine what the SM bus manufacturer is or the Bluetooth hardware adapter is. What can I do besides throw a fit and buy another brand?
Wow.
I like the humor at the end.
Why'd you throw away the computer? Throw away the baby with the bathwater, right?
So, a couple of things before we get started. Louise, drivers, and that's the software that really tells Windows about the hardware inside, those shouldn't cost any money.
No.
Shouldn't cost any money. You should be able to go to Dell, in this case, and their support site, and you put in something called their Dell Express code or their tag, which is on the back or bottom of the computer.
Yeah.
And it'll show you all the drivers available and go through the process.
Really
also, oftentimes, those drivers and those updates and things are available if you use the Windows Update feature. And so I would try both those things out. If you get stuck with either of those or what I'm saying is just like 3 miles over your head, then find a friend, bribe them with baked goods, or find a pro.
Here's a general advice for everyone listening saying, well, I don't have a Dell, so this doesn't apply to me. No. Anytime you're in a situation where you need drivers or something where you should have had it on your disk, with the exception of like Windows and the operating system, if you just give this a try for any hardware company that you're working with, just try support.nameofthecompany.com.
By the way, if you have those disks, I wouldn't use them anyway.
Yeah.
Because those are outdated.
So if you go support.dell.com, you're probably going to find the support section where you can put in your codes or whatever, get your drivers. Support.toshiba.com. That's a very common nomenclature that they use out there. So give that a try when you're looking for support from your hardware manufacturer.
And one last little piece here. If anything is looking to charge you for a program that's going to find all the drivers or charge you for the drivers themselves,
run away!
Be very aware that that is A, likely a scam, or B, likely a ripoff, or both.
Well, no, there are legitimate programs that allow you to do that. In fact, we had a question last week from somebody. Said it's like $30. It found 24 things that it would update. And I was like, yeah. No!
Don't spend the $30. Don't fix what isn't broken. And if you need the drivers, they're free. They don't take much to find, and just don't do that.
Well, the problem is if you updated 24 drivers all at once on your computer, what do you think the likelihood of a compatibility issue might be, Brandon?
I would say more than a fair chance.
Yeah.
And then the best part is since you did all of them at once, you wouldn't know which it was.
Yeah. So
yeah.
You paid to create a mess.
We're not fans of those things.
Nah.
Just don't do that.
I don't know why.
Hey, did you know your Facebook profile could, like, accurately predict your job performance?
That's insane.
You know what?
Yeah, I've seen your Facebook profile. Very accurate, by the
way. So if you want to buck the trend, you better read this article so that you know what to change on your Facebook profile so that when you're applying for that job, you have what they call the predictive components in your profile.
Whoa, so you're saying mine is accurate or his is accurate?
Yours. I said Spanky.
Okay, you didn't say
Who
Spanky.
Who else's name is Spanky?
Well, you just looked at me and I'm like thinking, not me.
I don't know.
But if mine's accurate. Anyway, you want to find out, datadoctors.com/radio. We have a link for you there, where we also have the link for everything we talk about on the program, including
Mac users. Don't be sad here, Spanky.
I'm not going to be sad, but I'm going to tell you right now, you Mac users. In fact, it's a dark week for Macs, because once again, Macs aren't strong enough to fight malware. I'm verklempt. Speak amongst yourselves.
They're not strong enough to fight malware? Is that what you're attempting to get out?
Yeah, there's a malware problem again.
Yeah, this isn't the first time. It won't be the last time.
Houston, we have a problem.
And part of the problem is that everybody thinks that they're immune, and so they don't even bother trying. And that's really more than half the problem.
But
right
wait a minute. The Mountain Lion, like the new version of the OS X, right?
Yes.
It's coming out. It has something called Gatekeeper to fight malware.
Mountain Lion?
Yeah, so the next iteration of Mac's OS, now we're on Lion. The
right.
next one that's coming out is called Mountain Lion. It's the newer Mac OS.
And then when it gets towards the end of its life, it's called Cougar.
Huh. Okay. I see where you're going with that.
There's a joke there.
I see what you did there.
Anyway, Gatekeeper, though, is pretty smart because it's designed to help shut down sites that you don't want to grab stuff from, that you don't want to download automatically into your computer, and allows you to set up kind of a gate of, I only want stuff from this website and this website and this website, and if something else tries to sneak into my computer, block it.
Sounds like a brilliant idea.
Sounds like a very smart idea.
Sounds like something that used to exist in the Windows world long ago until people got annoyed with it, and they said, we have to come up with a better way, because me having to approve every single thing that I want to do, you wouldn't believe that. That's going to be unbelievably crazy unless they've figured out a better way to do this.
But wait a minute. Doesn't Gatekeeper basically now, finally, Apple is admitting after all those commercials and all those years about how safe things are, by putting something into the operating system that's going to keep malware out, are they now finally admitting that malware is an issue for Macs?
Listen, it's been around for a while. It's just been kept in the dark and on the down low because Mac users...
Uh-oh.
What?
I sense the Glenn Beck in you.
No,
coming
out. I truly...
This is a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy, no. Mac users have lived in this fantasy land for a long time, or for a while now, that, you know, we aren't impacted by malware.
When you first came here, you subscribed to that theory.
I did subscribe to that theory, and then I learned otherwise. And
so,
it's painful.
So at this point, are we telling people that have Macs that they need to rush out and get antivirus programs?
Are we telling them that?
Yes.
It's smart to have one running.
We're certainly telling them, and we've told them now several times in the show, that you're not immune.
Yes.
And so two things, if you've been listening at all, and if you haven't, go get the podcast, but you need to check to make sure you're not on one of the rogue DNS servers, right? Because that can absolutely affect you. And if you are, then you need to deal with that, number one. Number two, you need to make sure your browsers, your operating system, your Flash player, all these things stay up to date, because these are the areas that you're starting to be infected by. And then third, Well, stay tuned for the antivirus thing, because that's not a discussion that we're going to deal with today, but it's coming. That day is coming.
Keep your stuff updated. Your browser is your threat.
On the other side of the break, will March 8th be the last day that you have the internet?
Plus, are you hooked on it? The internet, that is. It's churning out junkies. Are you one of them?
I'm not one of them.
Stay tuned. You'll find out.
You're definitely one.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, Apple haters.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was just waiting for one of you to respond.
I don't hate.
Last week, we talked about what it's like inside Foxconn. That's the plant where they make the iPads and iPhones. ABC, the TV network, went inside and shot video. We've watched it, and you need to also. Check it out at datadoctors.com/radio.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Do I watch that before or after the iPhone drop and plop?
Yeah, you know what? Watch the iPhone drop and plop first, okay? And then we can go from there.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
This is the portion of the show we focus in on a help item, the help desk, if you will, the Data Doctors radio program's help desk. Somebody actually posted a question last week about this whole FBI kill switch thing. It was being completely misrepresented in the media. Oh, surprise.
Like the FBI is
doing some bad thing. Yeah, the FBI is going to come and turn off your internet. It's like, no.
The men in black have the control.
No, but if you are infected with a piece of malware that they discovered from this big network last year, and you don't get it cleaned up by March 8th, if you have this particular piece of malware in hiding in your system, you'll wake up on the morning of March 8th. You'll try to hit your web browser and get on the internet, and it'll say, internet not found, connection not found, no can do, can't find.
Can you imagine the tech support departments at Comcast and Cox and CenturyLink and all these different ISPs out there that are going to be flooded with calls that morning because everybody thinks that it's their service down?
I have the number one answer that their tech support people are going to give them. Have you rebooted your computer yet?
Yes.
Actually, there will be a recording. Due to the extremely high volume of calls,
yes.
Your expected wait time is 3 hours.
37 minutes.
What I like is all of those, since we're on this, I'm going to go on just a minor rant.
Go ahead.
To verify whatever for quicker service, put in your phone number and put in your PIN, but all this stuff, right? And then the first thing that happens when the person comes on is goes, who am I speaking with?
Can I get your phone number,
can
please?
Can I get your phone number? That was a stalling tactic. You're just trying to keep me busy because you're not even going to get to me.
The illusion of labor. Didn't we read something about that?
So, yes. Ken, what can I do to make sure I don't lose the internet on March 8th? Because I'm a Mac user. Although that won't affect me, will it? Because I'm a Mac user.
Of course it will.
It's a browser issue. It's a DNS issue. It has nothing to do with whether you're Mac or Windows. So
it can actually be more than a browser issue. It can be a router issue, too. So it could affect your entire network, home or business. It doesn't matter. Windows, Mac, it can affect them all.
Yeah, just take a minute. You or the IT person in your life or in your world or at your office, whatever, go take a look at the link. We've got a link to the FBI's full explanation as well as what the step-by-step instructions are to see if you are potentially infected by this rogue malware so that you can do something about it before March 8th.
And if you're not comfortable doing it yourself, if you want some help and you're near one of our Data Doctors locations, just bring it on in. We can do a quick check, find out if you've got this problem, and then we can go from there.
And we've offered to do the check for free.
F-R-E-E.
Yeah, so if you look at that thing and it's like, holy cow, this is way more than I can deal with. So show that to your tech friends or bring it to one of us, whatever. We'll take care of it for you. But do not ignore this one. You've got to do a self-check to make sure you're not one of the 500,000 computers in the United States.
That's 500,000 for
those.
That's
500,000.
Yeah.
And by the way, government agencies, Fortune 500 companies, they've all been found to have at least one infected machine. So it's not like it's only consumers. If you small business people don't take this lightly.
And if your internet does go down and you're an internet addict, you're stuck.
Well, if you're an internet addict, you'd have multiple connections, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what if they're all infected? Wow. How many of us are internet addicts? The numbers are staggering. And when I mean internet addicts, you know, you can't do without it. You have to have your internet fixed every single day.
You're not an addict unless you go to the meetings.
Do they have 12-step meetings for internet?
It'll be soon enough.
Anyway, you want to see...
Dr. Drew will have that.
You want to see some of the numbers? Go to datadoctors.com/radio. We have them all up there, and the numbers are staggering. Like, staggering, like if you're drunk in a bar. Staggering.
Brilliant.
Staggering, huh?
So...
Go ahead.
Ken.
No, go ahead.
Sorry.
What just happened there?
We're looking at it. I don't know.
We're staring at each other.
We're staring at each other going, hey?
What are we going to talk about next?
So there was an article about that Ken pointed out to me about privacy. And is our vision or notion of privacy today out of sync with reality? Like, what do we expect privacy to really be? When you put something on the internet, there's...
None of it's private is my assumption.
So, but what...
Everything I do.
Yeah, but you can set privacy settings. You have gatekeepers. So
my assumption is that none of those privacy settings work. This is just me, and I understand that this is taken to extreme and it's a little bit nuts.
Right.
But for my own peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
I make the assumption that there's no such thing. Everything I do is something that can later be found, and so I don't say something or do something that I wouldn't be okay with being published on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
Ever?
Yeah, pretty much.
So even if you had your own private website, you're something that you have locked down that nobody else can get to.
I assume that that's all broken.
You assume that it's all broken. There are so many privacy issues out there. You know, I wonder at what point people go, I'm not going to publish this to the internet because even though it says it's private, I don't know that it's really private
but
anymore.
But the privacy issue has less to do with what you're posting purposefully and more with the fact that you are using a service that you've not read the terms of service because it's 45 pages of legal gobbledygook.
Right. How many of us have used Google and how many of us have read the terms of what they can keep track of with our Google searches?
Well, and it's not like there's all of a sudden there's this new issue with privacy. I mean, the internet is not the beginning of this. I mean, your credit card company knows more about you than you'll ever want them to know. And that's been in there. That's been for decades. So this notion of privacy, the way, you know, in the 50s, it don't exist.
When we come back, ever drop your smartphone in the toilet? Maybe we can help you laugh about it.
And saving Lent, the Pope gets social, but is he sending the right message?
It's the Data Doctors Radio program. Stay tuned for much more.
I like how you sang that going out.
More.
I can't sing. I'm
suffering.
We'll be right back. The tax man cometh, and lots of us fire up the PC to start punching in the numbers. Stop!
Yes, before you start putting all that personal information, your social security number, your address, all that good stuff on there, your bank's routing information, you need to make sure that your computer's not infected.
Tax time is like Christmas for hackers. Your infected PC could give them everything they need to steal your identity and your dough.
Here's the deal. If your computer is taking forever to start up, takes forever to shut down, is slow as molasses, these are all indications that something is in there that shouldn't be. And you want to make sure it's not malicious software that can figure out what you're doing when you're doing your taxes.
That's why Data Doctors does a free tax time PC checkup. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be able to determine if your computer needs special medical attention, and then we'll get it healthy again.
Don't even think about doing your taxes on your PC until you've had your computer checked by Data Doctors.
DataDoctors.com. Click the Find a Location button for the store nearest you.
Is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Hey, Spanky, you know how you wanted to, like, sue just about everybody you know for posting all those embarrassing photos about you on Facebook?
Yes, the naked ones and the...
Yeah.
You're hot and dangerous, those ones?
Yeah, those ones.
Good luck. Someone tried and failed. Ain't gonna happen. Check it out at datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology. Data Doctors Radio Program.
I would like to sue for the basis of, let's see, I don't want my pictures out there.
Don't put them out there.
Oh, but that's my privacy. I can do what I want with it.
Good luck.
I'll do what I want.
All day.
Facebook.com/DataDoctors, your source for any and all tech questions that you may have. just ask them there or just see what we're talking to other people about. You don't even have to ask a question. You can learn something.
You can just lurk.
And Rylan, is it Rylan?
Yeah.
Rylan, right. Ask us a question. You guys know what causes keyboard lag on the internet.
Yes, not enough sleep.
Or coffee.
Or long flights.
Kind of weird. I get double character sometimes, true lag. Other times, it works fine. It's almost like there's a memory problem or a conflict issue.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Yes.
Was this a wireless keyboard?
It is a wireless keyboard. Ding, 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 ding. You are correct, sir. If I had another keyboard, I would do a temporary swap, but I don't have one.
Well, first of all, another keyboard is like $6.
Get one that plugs in and see if that solves your problem.
But... Or be really cheap
uh-huh.
and just ask two or three of your friends, do you have an old keyboard sitting up in your closet somewhere? And the likelihood of them saying yes is about 1,000%.
Or just get dictation software, get rid of the keyboard altogether and problem solved. No.
No. But seriously, you know somebody who's got one. I had a problem with the keyboard at home a couple of weeks ago and I went to my brother-in-law.
But here's the thing. Wireless keyboard means there's a battery.
Yes.
When there's a battery, at some point the battery goes,
sleepy time.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't your software, I mean, on my Mac, if my battery's going on my mouse or my keyboard, it says your battery's getting
low. Wait a minute. Your battery on your keyboard, there's no battery on your keyboard for your Mac.
No, not this Mac. My MacBook Pro, my desktop 57 machine.
57-inch, yeah.
Yes, your the big bad keyboard. Boy.
Yeah.
The wireless keyboard that I use.
Well, here's a couple of things. One, change the battery. See if that solves your problem. Number two, when you go to buy a wireless keyboard, don't buy the cheap one. Buy a brand name you've heard of,
yes.
Right? And so the better ones, for example, one of the girls in our accounting group, she has a wireless keyboard, wireless mouse. They're Microsoft. The set together was about $100, but it has a little battery indicator, and it shows you, and you can push a little button, and it warns you software-wise when it's getting low, all these things. You spend a few bucks more, but guess what? This thing works well. She's a keyboard freak. She's 10-keying and doing all this. If this thing was cutting out, you think that we'd be able to stay in business? No. So don't buy the cheap keyboard. And change the battery.
And have a spare, you know what, invariably. And another thing that can happen with these wireless keyboards.
Invariably. Indubitably.
And another thing. I mean, if you have to troubleshoot something, right?
Yes.
You start the thing up and your computer, you got to have a wired keyboard to do a lot of troubleshooting when you have a wireless keyboard. So everybody that has a wireless keyboard, don't ever throw away your wired keyboard. Stick it in the closet somewhere because you're going to need it at some point for troubleshooting.
I made that mistake. That's why I'm raising my hand.
Right.
I threw away all my wired keyboards because I thought, I'm never going to use these things again.
So that's why people listen to the show and they go, that's a smart thing. Those are smart guys. I'm going to listen again next week.
I need to listen more often.
Speaking of smart things, smart guys,
yes.
Smartphones, in case you missed it at the start of the program, you can find out what to do if you drop your smartphone in the can.
Yeah,
the toilet.
Dumb things people do with smartphones.
Mm.
Check out our latest Data Doctors music video. It's called a Smartphone Kind of Man. You can check it out, datadoctors.com/radio.
And I think to date, it's probably our best music video.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Pretty fun.
Because I was in it.
You made a cameo appearance.
I did.
And you did a very good job.
I coordinated the lead vocalist. That's my
claim
to fame.
Yes, you did. And I wrote and directed it. So,
that's nothing.
And started it.
That's the easy part.
So we all equally shared in this.
It was a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
Hey, so the Pope is trying to save Lent.
Be careful now.
I'm not one of his people.
I've got friends in Italy.
Okay, you got friends in high places.
They listen to the show.
I understand that.
This isn't the segment with the thunder and the...
No, that's what would Brandon do.
I'm just saying, be careful.
Well, the Pope is using the social platform Twitter to remind the faithful followers of Catholicism.
Is he using the Twitter?
The Twitter. Did I say the Twitter?
No, but it should have.
Okay. And it started on Ash Wednesday that, you know, during Lent... to give up something and to, you know, to stay faithful to their faith and to follow things. So he's tweeting every day.
The Pope has Tweeple.
He has Tweeple. I wonder if he's actually tweeting himself. I doubt he is. I'm sure he doesn't even know how to tweet.
How dare you?
The Pope has a ghost Twitter account?
How dare you?
I'm just...
Dudes like that are like all knowing about this stuff. Come on.
No, I just don't think... Anyway, so every day you can get some inspirational message from the Pope. So if you follow the Pope on Twitter...
Is it in Latin or English? Or
I don't know. Yeah. I don't follow the Pope.
Great story.
English.
But I just thought it was interesting. The Pope is tweeting to remind people, hey, it's Lent time. Oh. Is it Lent time?
I don't know, but I need more cowbell.
How about just more cow?
Listen, Facebook timeline, right? The ongoing issues. I'm going to switch gears on you here.
Okay, switch gears.
Yeah. Facebook timeline.
Yes.
People say they hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Love it.
Huge scams out there taking advantage of the people that hate this, suggesting that, well, we'll show you how to turn it off or click here to turn it off or do whatever. There's a bunch of scams out there. Not true, folks. Not a single one is true. Do not even think about doing it.
If you want to turn off timeline, you need to
turn off Facebook.
Delete your Facebook account.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of people are complaining about it. They hate it.
Okay, now, for those of us that love timeline.
Love it.
One of the downsides to this timeline, that big, humongous, wide picture.
Yes.
Right? Is that a lot of cropping and whatever. You're trying to get a picture to fit in there and it doesn't. It's kind of a weird format. I found a tool. It's a free tool that allows you to crop your photos properly for Facebook's timeline. So, you know, you have a very limited capability within Facebook.
Right.
I found a tool that allowed you to create beautiful photographs that fit perfectly.
I have a tool that does that already. His name is Spanky.
Ah.
He creates beautiful photographs. Go ahead.
I have a tool.
Go ahead, tool.
That gives you the option to make a montage of images become your timeline main photo.
Well, I mean,
so if we're going to one-up each other, let's go.
Are you talking about the Photoshop template?
Hey, Ken, the tool has a tool.
We all have tools.
And is that what you're talking about or no?
No, okay. No, it's a difference. It's a cool service that you put in the pictures that you want and it marries them together.
Okay,
and puts
but
them
I'm
going to
one up you there because if you have Photoshop, which means you're really cool and awesome and know how to do this.
Yes.
I have a link to the template that you can just pop into Photoshop and make it do some crazy
And there's
stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Both the tools. We'll make sure the tools are linked. datadoctors.com/radio.
We didn't get to today, but have no fear. We've got links to everything where Brandon just said. datadoctors.com/radio.
And if you missed any of today's program or last week's or the week before's or last month's or a decade ago, we got all those and more. datadoctors.com/radio. And you can subscribe on iTunes.
And remember, we do this for a living all week long. If you need help with any kind of technology issues, datadoctors.com. Click on the location and put in your zip code. We got it covered.
We are the Data Doctors, Brandon, Ken, and Spanky. It's time to reboot. Catch you next week.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.